Welcome, everyone, to the One More Game Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy, and with me is the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia. Pete, how you doing, man?
Wet. I guess drier now, but damn. It was a little touch and go whether I was actually going to be on the podcast this week. Yeah, power went out for a solid 12-plus hours, and yeah, it was really cold over here. Man, yeah, that was one hell of a storm that we got hit with. I don't know if it's supposed to go across the state or the country, I should say. But whew, that was touch and go. What was your backup plan anyway, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, my backup plan was I was going to do a solo show. I was just going to rock it myself and talk to myself and just play both roles. I was going to play Jeremy and Pete. I was going to be the California Thirst Quencher and Darcy. is the way I was going to do it. But yeah, no, I'm glad that, of course, you were able to navigate that and are here and good to go. You know, the thing that is a slightly frustrating, I do want to say, and it's not anything to do with you with the storm, but earlier this week, I had literally just ran through and worked on OBS and figured out the recording and the streaming thing, and it was working fine. And then right as we go to start this episode, it's we're having the error again. So audio listeners are going to be getting this much later than you hear on youtube.com/pressstart28 right now, because again, I have to figure out how to fix this, as well as, of course, wait for the YouTube video version to process before I can download it and update it. So I just had to point that out, because I was like, God dang it, I thought I had this all figured out and solved. And now
that's
weird.
I wonder if it has popping up again. Discord or something. Recording, trying to record through Discord, or
I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe I'll have to check it. Because, yeah, earlier this week when I did test it, I wasn't in Discord, of course. I just did a silent test that no one else could see. I streamed to our YouTube and hit record, and it worked perfectly fine. And I was like, all right, cool. I got it all figured out. It's working. Now it's not. So, yeah, maybe it is something with Discord. We'll have to figure that out. But, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to the One More Game Podcast. This is a podcast that is centered around and making sure you're informed about all the video game news happening around the world, whether it is PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, or PC. If there's news that you need to know about, we'll make sure that you know about it. When you're listening to this on your podcast service, make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button, depending on what your service offers. And if your podcast service allows reviews, please leave a 5-star review and tell everyone why you love the One More Game Podcast, because we really enjoy bringing this to you each and every week. If you'd like to be part of the show by asking a question or suggesting a topic for discussion, head on over to pressstartnews.net/onemoregame and fill out that submission form, and your submission could be used on the next episode. Or you could drop it off live in chat when we record this at youtube.com/pressstart28. Again, that's youtube.com/pressstart28. Just like Cobalt Hawk and Mr. Talavera sitting here in chat yelling at Pete here, because we were about to go live, and then Pete was like, I gotta step away for a second, and he stepped away and they were yelling at me. So Pete, I had to take the brunt of the yells for you over that.
Man, AT's never here live anyway, so I don't even want to hear that from him. Get out of here.
Well, they're yelling at you.
Fine.
All right, they're yelling at you.
AT, you get out of here.
Well, you could drop it off in chat, hopefully not yelling at us. Again, youtube.com/pressstart28, and follow us on our various socials, where we do post and announce when we are going to be recording the episodes. But if this is your first time to the podcast, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your listen, and I hope you enjoy your stay. But if you are returning, you already know what it is. We start off every single podcast talking about what we've been playing lately. So, Pete, through all the storms, what have you been playing lately?
Well, I wasn't playing much this storms. We had several power surges before the 4.5 inches of rain that we got knocked out the power fully. And that was just in our area. I've heard like upwards of 5, 6, 9 inches. It's crazy.
Wow.
But during the time that I did get to do it, I downloaded the demo for Octopath Traveler 2, which I've affectionately dubbed Octopath Traveler.
I did see you post that, and I just shook my head at your post.
Man, that was clever. Get out of here.
Yeah, no.
but anyway, I downloaded Octopath Traveler 2, the demo, liked it enough that I bought the game. Been playing a lot of that. Playing the original Octopath Traveler again as well, in the middle of that, kind of like switching back and forth. looking at the differences and stuff like that. And I know I read a few reviews before I actually picked it up, and I know a lot of it was like, oh, well, they just kind of copy and pasted the same game. And like at a glance and like just like kind of like playing through it, like the generalization, I could understand that. But they made a lot of changes, unless like a lot of the stuff that's happening in Octopath 2 like happens like as you progress on in Octopath 1. I'm not going to say I'm like super far into either. But like they, you can, in Octopath 2, you can switch to day and night now. Each of the character or each of the classes, jobs, whatever you want to call it, has like a different skill for day stuff and night stuff. Some of the quests can only be activated at night or completed at night, like in particular or very early on. One of the quests I was during the daytime, I talked to some person who said, hey, something of mine got stolen. What the hell? That's rude. And I switched to night and saw like in a nearby encampment that was set up during the day, but well, nobody was there during the day. So when I switched to night, I saw like the thief was there, and I talked to him and beat him up and got the thing back and stuff like that. And so there's things like that. They have like a limit break kind of mode where once you get through a certain amount of like do a certain amount of like abilities and fights in combat, you get like each of your characters get like a, they call it latent power. I got a special ability kind of thing like that. So there's a lot of differences in the game. I also feel like, like I said, I think I played Octopath 1. I would say I played close to like 6 hours. Octopath 2, I think it's more like 4. Octopath 2. I feel like I like the stories that are being told more. It feels like Octopath 1 is kind of like almost like a more general kind of story of like you're supposed to put yourself in the character's shoes, right? And like I said, I think I'm just started chapter 2 of one of the characters. I finally just got all 8. But the chapter 1s for a lot of the, for the few characters I met in Octopath 2 so far, it feels like there's a little more oomph to some of the stories that are being told, a little more stuff that I can sink my teeth to, at least teeth into, at least early on. I will say the classes seem like they're all the same. So a lot of the, you're probably going to be familiar with a lot of the abilities. A lot of the abilities are going to be the same. Things like that. But I don't know. I think just saying Octopath 2 is just a reskin version of Octopath 1, which I've seen in some of the reviews I read, even though the most of them have given a pretty good like score, like point wise, I think it's selling it a little short. I do agree with your takes when it comes to Octopath. You basically have to like the genre of games that it is. This is, I wouldn't even say it's a JRPG. It's more like a classic JRPG, like, you know, from like Final Fantasy VI and earlier era kind of thing. More updated. There's things that, you know, happen in the Octopath games that don't really, that were like probably more, that are more streamlined than they would have been back, you know, in the 90s or whatever, 80s or whatever. But I mean, it's right in my wheelhouse, so I really enjoy it. But it feels a little bit like if you were playing a racing game and like, this racing game is awesome, but I can only give it a 7 out of 10 because like people don't, not everybody likes racing games. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm going to the score for you for. I'm asking you if I like race. Like, I understand playing a racing game, I have to be priced into liking the racing game. You know, mm-hmm. If I'm playing a card game, I have to be priced into liking card games probably. Like, it's, or at least having a desire to try to learn and be enjoy card games. It's not just like, oh man, this racing game got a 10 out of 10. I hate racing games in general, but maybe this one's different. It's like, no, that's not how that works. So, Octopath 2, if you really like Octopath 1, you're probably going to like Octopath 2. It does seem to be a little bit easier, at least so far, going through the missions. I feel like I'm leveling my characters up way faster. I don't know if it's just because I started with the, not the medic, what do they call it? The apothecary class. Mm-hmm. I didn't start with the apothecary class in the first one. I started with the scholar. This one, I started with the apothecary class. Character's name is Casty. And I was just mowing through people, and her latent power seems pretty busted. You can basically like mix up a bunch of stuff without using any like sources to make like super potions and like heal the party and stuff like that. And that was really, felt really broken. But I don't know if that's just like, oh, it's super powerful early and not as powerful late or something like that. So we'll see as I play more and more into it. I'm a little scared. Because I want to play a lot of this game, and like I said before, I want to try to give you guys a new thing every single week. So this might be the week where I finally play Tappen. Let's just put it that way, because that's a mobile game where I don't have to be at home and play.
yeah, you're finally gonna play Tappen. But no, I'm glad you're enjoying Octopath Traveler 2. Did you pick it up on PS5? I think that's what you said before you were.
I did. I wanted to play. PS. It's on Game Pass. By the way, if you do want to play it on Game Pass, it's leaving in a couple of days. Octopath 1, I should say. So, I mean, it's on sale right now for $48 if you pick it up, if you have the Game Pass. If not, you're probably going to have to pay full Monty on that one. But if you want to give it a try, there is a couple days left. So, you know, hop on that if you're thinking about it.
Yeah, so Octopath Traveler 2, if I remember correctly, is out for Switch, PC, and for PlayStation. Octopath Traveler 2, if I remember correctly, is not on Xbox at the moment.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird because, of course, with how it was before is, if I remember correctly, it came out, it was originally a Switch exclusive, and then if I remember correctly, it went to Xbox, then PC, and then, and it still isn't to this day on PlayStation.
I don't think you can get it on PlayStation, but you can get it on everything but Xbox for Octopath 2. It's also not a Nintendo Switch time exclusive, which is also kind of weird.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly weird, but I agree with you because, of course, it launched, exclusively for Switch and was on there for a year or something like that beforehand. But again, it is a Square Enix, title, so it's not completely strange, but it just feels a little off in that regard. But yeah, just wanted to pass that along for the listeners and stuff. So for myself, yes, I've been playing some more Tappen. I'm going to probably bring that up every week because I just want more people to play Tappen because it is fun. So I've been playing more of that. And then throughout this week, throughout this this vacation, I played Wild Hearts, as I brought up last week. And then I put that on the back burner and I went back to Soul Hackers 2 and finished that finally. So I knocked a game off of my list and it was a lot of fun. I still had a great time with it. I debated back and forth if I was going to try to go for the platinum or not, because like the platinum, in my opinion, I was not too far away from being able to get it, but there was going to be some like grindiness that would require me to get it, so I decided against it. That's not the one I want to talk about. I just want to bring up though, I went back to non-JRPG veteran mindset. I went to new JRPG a newbie mindset, and I went to the final boss and I was like, I beat it, and it was really late at night and I was like, sweet, I beat it. Actually, I only beat the first phase. I needed to beat the second phase. And I was like, how did I not understand that? Exactly. I was like,
don't you RPG, bro?
I know. I was like, why did I not realize there was going to be a second phase? There's always really a second phase.
Really quick before you continue, Soul Hackers 2 is going to be on Game Pass within like the next day or so. It's available on the 27th. So,
yep.
So since you weren't going to talk about that, I just didn't want to forget. But
Ahead. You're right.
I hear what you're talking about.
And I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I was going to make mention of it, but I was forgetting. Beforehand, I was going to make mention of it, but I was about to forget. But no, what I want to talk about is what I streamed last night here on Press Start.
I was wondering
Start.
If you were going to do it. I was wondering if you're going to get on that. I'm actually really interested.
So last night, as of this recording is on Sunday. So last night, Saturday, I decided to stream, and I decided to go back to a game that we brought up here on the podcast many moons ago, and that is Edge of Eternity. So Edge of Eternity, just for those that don't know, this is a indie RPG, and I'm going to call it a JRPG, even though I'm fairly certain Midgar Studios, who made it, is not Japanese developers. But
no, I think they're in Europe. But
yeah, I thought, if I remember correctly, yeah, they were in Europe. But they're just big fans of JRPGs, and they went to make this game. And it was backed on Kickstarter, and it took a while to get out, and it finally released. And those may remember that I played it. And then when it finally released on console, it was going to Game Pass, and Pete here was like, man, I'm really looking forward to this game. And I told him, I was like, hey, I'm gonna give you a heads up. It's not that good. Like, as much as I was excited for that game, it's not that good. And then Pete came back afterwards and said, man, you're right. It's not that good. Well, last night I decided to return to it. It's had a number of updates since then. And I wanted to see, is it good? Has it gotten any better? Just for the record, I had only played it, and I found this out, Pete, obviously, from playing last night. I played it once on December 27th, 2021, and I played it for a grand total of 44 minutes. 44 minutes and 10 seconds, to be exact.
Dude, way less time than I did. Damn.
Yeah, that was it. That was as much time that I gave it back in the time. And I booted up last night, and so then I decided... I wasn't going to at first, but I decided I'm going to restart the game because I was going to just load up my save and just continue on. But as I was doing a recap for the listeners, I was like, I know that I'm giving the general story of like what unfolded to begin with, but I know I'm missing some parts. So I said, screw it. I only played it for 44 minutes. It's not like I'm going to lose a lot of time. So I replayed it. And Pete, I am happy to report I actually enjoyed it this time. I actually felt better about it. And this is not a spoiler because it literally happens within the first 20 minutes of this game. So if you try to come at me for spoilers, this is like it's already in your face. It's not a spoiler. But Pete, since you played it, you know this. Remember at the very beginning of the game, you fight the big mech unit from the enemy nation or however you describe it. And at the end of that battle, it shoots a spear at your sorceress in the back and it like pierces her and she dies. And remember, I brought up to you about how my biggest complaint at that back when I played it was there was no sound effects when it pierced her.
Oh, they fixed that?
They did. There is actual sound effects. And I instantly was like, this feels better. Like this already feels better. And so, yeah, I played it for about an hour and 40 minutes last night, an hour and a half or maybe. No, it was an hour and a half because I was like, oh, I played it for double the time that I played it originally. And I actually, again, I felt good about it. I had a good time with it. So I actually planned to play it some more. And I did return to Edge of Eternity. And I'm glad that it's still rough around the edges. There's still some things that, of course, as a indie dev taking on this like 50-hour JRPG, you know, type game. There are some rough around the edges still, but it's gotten better and it's done enough to make me continue playing it. So I'm happy to report that.
Yeah, Midgar Studio is based in South France, according to their website.
That's right.
So yeah. And also, like, if you didn't know they were super into JRPG, the name of the studio is Midgar Studio, which for Final Fantasy fans probably recognize that that's Final Fantasy VII's opening town that you're in for a decent portion of the first disc of the game. So
yeah,
and all of remakes. So I'm really glad that actually came back. I don't think I'm ever gonna pick it up again, at least not anytime soon. I guess I shouldn't say never, just because I'm super into Octopath right now, and like I actually want to at least get to a point where I'm just like, all right, I'm happy with where I'm at. Maybe I don't finish the game. I would obviously like to, but I don't necessarily get into the point where I'm like interested in finishing games so much as like I'm satisfied where I'm at right now. I'm gonna put it down and go try something else, and I'm not at that point yet with Octopath. There is a game I did download that if I don't get to it, it'll almost certainly be Teppan next week, but Atomic Heart, which came out. I want to give that a try. At least maybe I'm not gonna say I'm gonna come back next week, but in the next couple of weeks I think that'll be one of my what have I been playing lately, because I want to try that something different, since I've been playing a lot of RPGs lately. So I'm really happy that it sounds like it's better, and I wouldn't mind going back to it. I really enjoyed riding the kitties. riding the cats around. And it did have a lot of things I liked. It was just like, there was nothing that was like grabbing me when I played, where I was just like taking hold. And I was like, oh, this is an interesting bit or interesting piece to like a new wrinkle or something. It was just like, this is like a lot of things that are fine. It's just like, when I played it, it was like good, but not like good in like, I'm back home or I'm at peace or I'm in like a happy place. It's like, this is all fine.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like the extent of it.
Yeah, I gave this shout out a number of times in the stream, but I want to just put it here again. You know, when you think about this was Midgar Studios' second game, the very first game was not a JRPG at all. And then again, on top of that, it is a long, you know, beefy RPG at that. you got to give credit where credit is due. And like, it is a, like, you know, congrats in a sense to Midgar Studio for being able to put this out there for people to play. But in that same breath that you have to, you know, make notice is like, but it shows, you know, they are a small indie studio team, and in a sense, they bit off more than they could chew. And so there are some things that are going to hold it back, and it's really going to be polarizing if you like it enough to try to finish it, or if you, you know, give up right away. And so I don't want to understate that. So with that being said, I do want to say real quick, when it comes to here at Press Start, we've talked about before listing off some games that you could buy that you can help support the stream. And so I have three this week. Now, technically, if you watch this or listen to this after 4 o'clock, there's only going to be two that you can actually buy at a discount, or at least that I know will be at a discount, but three to begin with. And the first one I'm going to bring up is the one that is very short time, which is Edge of Eternity. Edge of Eternity on Fanatical currently is 67% off, making it $9.89. So you could buy that and, of course, support the channel. But again, that expires in about an hour now. So go get it.
Podcast recording.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. Like, you're, it's like at 4:30 Central Time. So I know it's like an hour and a half roughly, but the time for that one is expiring. The other two I want to point out though is the first one that I originally had, which is Steel Rising. Steel Rising is a Dark Souls like game. It is 55% off, making it $22.49. You can go buy that, and a little surprise for you. You'll find my name in the credits if you buy that game. So I'm just going to push it there. So if you want to buy that and you want to see my name, buy it, play it all the way through, and then you'll see my name in the credits. And then the second one is Symphony of War, the Nephilim Saga. Now, this is a game that was made, if I remember correctly, in RPG Maker. And it has overwhelming positive reviews on Steam. It's been something that a lot of people have really been excited for. That one is 21% off, making it $15.89. Again, if you use those links down in the description below and you buy that, you end up helping us support here at Press Start. But let's get to our podcast, because we got quite a bit to get to, and it goes with State of Play thoughts. Konami is going to be announcing a new Castlevania, as well as Mortal Kombat 12 is coming out this year. That's all coming up here on the One More Game podcast. But let's get to our main title. And of course, it is, as I said, we're doing a State of Play recap and sharing our thoughts on this. We're going to Destructoid for this one, written by Eric Van Allen. And it is basically just a recap article for the Sony State of Play. Before we get into this, actually, I forgot to ask you, Pete, did you get to watch the State of Play with all the storms that were going on for you?
I didn't watch it live. Absolutely not. I did skim it after the fact. It's like 1.52 times speed. But if you, I did not intentionally, because I couldn't watch it live anyway, I did not intentionally watch your stream, which you can go find right now on Press Start, Press Start on YouTube.
Yeah.
You're probably watching the stream. If you want to get Jeremy's live reactions to what the State of Play was in general, you can go and look that up yourself, but I didn't want to be influenced by what you were thinking and what you were saying, so I'm interested to hear some of your takes, and I got a few of mine, kind of mostly mixed, but there were some bright spots, so I enjoyed a few things that I saw.
Well, let's just real quick get into it. So just as you said, yes, here at youtube.com/pressstart28, I did co-stream the State of Play, so you can see my live reactions to that if you want to see more thoughts outside of here of the podcast. But Pete, you watched it. So what was your thoughts? What would you kind of rate this?
It felt like it went on a long time. It even though I like sped through it, I didn't watch it like that one time speed. Like I did speed through it. It still felt like it went on for a little bit longer than I would have liked, even in that scenario. There felt like there was a lot of lulls. The Nintendo Direct was what, like 20 minutes? It wasn't. No, this one was
45, the Nintendo wasn't. Direct was like 40 something minutes.
Yeah, I think it's not the State of Play. It's the other PlayStation thing that usually go like 20 minutes. But anyway, this one felt like, whereas for me, the Nintendo Direct felt like it was. It felt like there was a lot going on, and I didn't feel like it overstayed its welcome. This one kind of felt like that, and I think part of that was because the last segment was 15 minutes long with the No, not Injustice, damn it.
Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. Suicide
Squad killed the Justice League. The Injustice one was another article that we're going over soon. I think that was part of the problem, where because like that went on for 15 minutes, and I actually liked most of what I was seeing. I did question some of the things that were brought up. First off, the gameplay, quote unquote, felt really controlled and not like they were actually playing the game. It was also almost just like they were showing like a video of what was going on in the game. It didn't feel like they were actually playing the game, which I didn't really care for. Even though there was action going on, it wasn't like the gameplay video that we saw a couple of weeks ago, where it was just running through an empty city and sometimes shooting zombies. This one, there was action going on during the scenes, but it felt very controlled and very like intentional and not like fluid. It felt really staticky in that sense. Also, like they brought up numerous times, the one thing they wanted to do was show the city through the villain's eyes, which I get. But also, like, you're showing showing the world through the villain's eyes, and the world is controlled by Brainiac, another villain. It's not like you're like, oh, I'm playing as Joker, or because it's part of the this is supposed to be part of the Arkham universe. I think it's 5 years after Arkham Knight.
Yes.
It looks when you're looking at the world through the villain's eyes, but it's the world is completely warped and transformed because of something else. You're not really looking at the world through the villain's eyes at that point, even if the villain you are playing a villain protagonist. It's not like I was trying to say, you're not playing the Joker or Harley Quinn during like Arkham City or something like that. You're playing like it's basically another superhero thing. I also like, I get they're trying to make Flash, like they're trying to make the Justice League be evil in this case. The video itself, you're playing basically fighting against Flash and Flash's minions to save Lex Luthor as part of the game trailer stuff that they were showing. And then Wonder Woman comes up at the end and he says, you have to kill them, which I'm sure is going to be something like, oh, we stop their heartbeat, but then we resuscitate them or something like that at the end of the game. Because I imagine they're not going to kill the Justice League totally outright, but maybe they will. It felt like that it was less the Flash, and I understand they're trying to make him evil, but it felt like it was more like Deadpool was they were trying to go for with like some of the stuff the dude was saying and talking about, which was odd because it's supposed to be Flash, even though, like I said, I know it's supposed to be that. I was kind of hot and cold with that, and because I was hot and cold with that, and that was like a third of the broadcast, it was kind of like, eh, okay. Mm-hmm. A couple other things that I was higher on. We got new Street Fighter 6 characters. We got Cammy and Zangief plus a new character, Lily. That was pretty cool. Chia to Chia. That looked really awesome, really interesting. They had some VR stuff, if you're into that. I'm not really, but some of that stuff looked pretty cool. And like if I had a VR, I'd probably be interested in getting some. If I had PlayStation VR 2, I'd probably be interested in getting some of that stuff. The big thing that I wanted to talk about, not really talk about, the one I wanted to highlight on was Humanity was a weird game because it was interesting, but like also like felt like a game where when you're playing through it, the messaging could be very powerful and very intentional. And I was kind of really interested in that. And then I was kind of like mostly like kind of like medium on some of the other stuff. The Naruto game, I'm just kind of off Naruto. I don't know if you wanted to bring that up or not. I'm just kind of like off
Naruto. Get out of here, Pete. Entirely. Naruto's awesome.
Get out of here. I'm not saying it's bad. They did show some more of Resident Evil 4 remake. There's a special demo for that coming out. So there were some highs. There's I feel like more lows than there were in the Nintendo Direct. I know you were lower on it than I was. The Nintendo Direct, even the lows, it felt like they were mostly pretty quick, except for like one or two humps. It felt like the lows here kind of lasted a little longer, and I was maybe I get a different experience if I was watching it live, because like I did see people talking about some of the stuff that was revealed. I already kind of knew some of the stuff that was coming, even if I hadn't watched it and didn't want to be influenced that much. I did kind of know some of the stuff that was coming. So, if I had to score this, I'd probably give this one a C plus, B minus, that kind of range. That's kind of where my vibe is with this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I am interested now And what were some of the things that you were thinking of as you watched this live? Obviously, don't go over the whole thing. I'll go watch the video after we do the podcast, but.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you're not going to jump in the middle of the podcast. And I'm going to click this video and start watching it right now.
Let me disconnect this button really quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'd give it like a C minus as well.
You were even lower again, even lower than me.
Yeah, it was one of those things where like it was fine. Personally. I saw, you know, obviously following it, some of the discussions and complaints around it. And like, you know, in a sense, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, I guess the way to describe it is like new things. But not every state of play needs to be that way. Of course, like this state of play served as, in my opinion, was updates. It's like, let's give updates to a number of things that we already knew were in the pipeline. Now, some of those VR games, of course, were new that we didn't know about, but like Before Your Eyes, that's not a new game, but it is new knowing that we're going in a VR mode of that game. Before Your Eyes is like already a fairly popular game in a sense, for those that have played it, I should say, on Steam. And of course, we got a Destiny 2 Lightfall trailer. That game's coming out this week. Of course, you're going to put it in there. And that trailer looked awesome. I mean, I'm a Destiny 2 fan, and I wish I had more time to continue to invest in Destiny 2, but that Lightfall trailer was really sick. Chia, that game continues to look great, and the fact that it's coming to PS Plus is awesome. So I'm excited for that one, and we got to look at we already got confirmed what the PS Plus games are this month, which is, again, it's great in a sense to have that get revealed in a state of play, because we normally don't. It's normally just a straight blog post type of thing. So having it there, seeing it's Battlefield 2042, Minecraft Legends, and then on top of it, the game that I would be most excited for if I didn't already own it, which is Code Vein. Now, Code Vein had been on Game Pass, so those that had Game Pass may have played it, but if you haven't already, this is basically the anime Dark Souls, and it is a ton of fun. I mean, it's set in the God Eater universe. Scarlet Nexus is also set in that same universe, so like there's like layers to that aspect, and so it's kind of cool that that's getting there. And then, of course, we got to look at what is going to be in the streaming aspects of it, the PS Plus extra and premium tiers, with like Lost Legacy in there, Ghostwire Tokyo, and I can't remember the other ones, but like we're gonna find out, of course, those other games that weren't in that when that blog post comes out March. Goodbye Volcano High was awesome. I thought that one definitely stole the show, in my opinion, because I liked what I had seen before of Goodbye Volcano High, but we hadn't had updates in a long time on it, and it was honestly one of those things where I liked it, but like I didn't give a crap about the game, if I'm gonna be, you know, blunt about it. The trailer at the State of Play made me give a crap about it. Like, I'm actually actively interested in this game now. And then we got that release date, too, that it's coming in June 15th. Like, that was awesome. So it's like we got an update. The trailer looked awesome. And we know now when it's coming out. That's great. For myself, I know you talked about the Naruto. But, like, I love the Naruto Ninja Storm games. I haven't bought them in a while, like, since they switched to Boruto. But, like, I have on my shelf back here Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 and 4. Like, I really like those games. And so seeing the connections, it was awesome. I don't know if I'm going to pick this up. And it really seems like it's more so just trying to connect all the stories. And that's why it's going with the name Naruto Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections. So that's kind of cool. There's 124 ninjas in that game. That's freaking sick. I mean, like, you're going to get, like, the whole crew, basically, of all the games in there. That's pretty awesome. I'm glad that we got an update on Baldur's Gate. With its release date, last we knew it was August. Now we know it's confirmed August 31st, which obviously is at the end of August, which kind of sucks, but still good that we now know. And the cool thing that I loved is the fact that they announced the cross progression. So if you have it on PC or you have it on PlayStation and you want to go to the other one, you can just carry it over. We'll get to another second about that here in a second, but then Street Fighter was awesome, and then Suicide Squad, there's been so much discussion around this. I saw a lot of people upset about this, but like I said in the live stream, I'm actually more interested in this game now with it. I know the games as a service aspect is not what a lot of people wanted. It had been rumored and it was leaked that it was going to be a games as a service. Most people, of course, because again, this is coming from the studio that made the Arkham Knight series. They were looking for another Arkham type game where it is a single player, very narrative driven, all this jazz with the Suicide Squad, and that's not going to be it. This is more akin, in a sense, to like your Destiny. It's not going to be like Destiny. The other game that I'm going to compare it to, which is where it's drawing a lot of the negative comparisons, it's going to be like Avengers. And I know that a lot of people are not happy with that aspect, but what they showed there looked like a lot of fun to me to jump in and drop out of. And it looked way more polished in a sense than what Avengers brought from the people that did play Avengers. If it can bring the story aspect that Avengers brought, because that's where the high point for Avengers was, that's cool. Where my biggest questions came from it, because there were some things that were a little low, is like, what is the moment-to-moment type of situations? Because like you said, that gameplay, it was definitely a controlled environment. Like, that's what they wanted. They wanted to show the flashiness of that. But like, what is the moment-to-moment situations? Is it going to be you're at a hub center, you go to a menu, you hit X to start the mission, and then you get transported to the mission? Or is it going to be like you walk into the world, like a open world type aspect, and then that's where the mission starts, you know, type of thing. That we didn't get to see. We know that it's a games as a service, so there's going to be equipment. They already talked about there's a battle pass. They say the battle pass is only cosmetics, which, sure, that's fine, but some people are, of course, again, not going to be happy with that, and they're not happy with it based off of what they've seen on there. But the other question that came up is they said they're going to put other characters in the game later, like other playable characters. And I said on my stream, what does that mean for those other characters? Is that mean more story content with those characters? Or is it more like, hey, you really want to play as Joker? Well, here's Joker. And it's literally, you can just go play some missions as Joker, but like, he's not really going to like have story beats. You're not going to see him in the cinematics, things like that nature. Like, what does that mean? And so it made me more interested, but like, it still left a lot of questions. And then just like I said, why I say C-, like you said, there were moments where it felt like it was dragging on, that there were some things that weren't, you know, to the highest points. I really feel like some of the, you know, other aspects around this could have been removed to condense it down some and make it a blog post. So, you know, they need to put the VR stuff in there because they haven't done a state of play in VR. But like the Naruto Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm connection, while I like that, that could have been, you know, a blog post announcement. You know, the Destiny 2 trailer, while it was great, didn't necessarily need to be here, type of thing. And so there were some of those things where it felt like it was fluffed up. And what I realized you were trying to draw the connection to is normally a state of play, as we've talked about before, is like a connection to like a Nintendo Indie World show or an indie partner show, not their Nintendo Direct. The Nintendo Direct is more comparison to the PS Showcase. This was definitely beefy in a sense, like time-wise, of like the showcases, but it only had the content like normally a state of play does. So it should have been shorter. It should have been like that 20-minute mark, make it a little bit faster, make it feel a little more snappy, and I think it would have been better, but like not what we saw there. Yeah,
I will
go ahead.
Say, I will say to counter that, you probably don't get the 15 minutes of... I think part of the reason it was... a big part of the reason it was so long is because they wanted to get that... Suicide Squad stuff in there. So, I mean, at that point, if you're only doing like a 20-25 minute one, like, you may as well just release the Suicide Squad stuff by itself, which maybe they should
actually
have. I'm not saying they shouldn't have.
I will counter that real quick before we go into our next story. Countering your counter is, even though it's not a first party, do a state of play centered around it like you've done before. You've done state of play centered around a game with Horizon Forbidden West. You've done it with God of War before, where it literally is the state of play is, hey, we're having a branding of state of play, but it is the entire showcase is centered around this game. Now, granted, again, Horizon, God of War, those are PlayStation first parties, so that makes more sense. But like, again, this is a situation of, if you truly wanted all 15 minutes of Kill the Justice League, and you're trying to condense it down in a sense, but you're like, oh, if we condense it down too much, then that, you know, it's only going to be kill the Suicide Squad, then just do a state of play on Suicide Squad and save the rest of this for a different state of play, or, you know, however you wanted to go about it, in my opinion. Just a real quick before we move on, that Humanity game, which, you know, I was really happy about that we finally got an update on this game. A lot of people may have forgotten about it, but it's been like years of hearing about this Humanity game. We finally got an update. There is a demo out. I know it's a timed demo, so I don't remember how long that demo is out for, but if you want to check it out, go play it. And of course, there's going to be some VR modes with... coming down the line for that game. Because we are running long, let's go over to our next article. Konami to announce new Castlevania and Metal Gear Solid 3 remake at E3. Of course, this is a report, and in this article is coming from GameSpot, written by Osinen Kunke, and it goes as follows. A new report claims that Konami is planning to reveal a new Castlevania and a Metal Gear Solid 3 remake at this year's E3. According to Andy Robinson, speaking on the VGC podcast, which, by the way, is a new podcast, and this was the very first episode it was they were having, Konami is planning to have, quote, a pretty big E3, claiming that a new Castlevania is set to appear alongside the much rumored Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. Quote, there's a new Castlevania in addition to the Dead Cells DLC they announced at the Game Awards, Robinson explained, and there's this much discussed Metal Gear Solid 3 remake, which I also expect them to finally show. Now, in terms of the other older Metal Gear Solid games potentially being playable on modern platforms, Robinson said that as of 1 or 2 years ago, being able to do so in some shape or form was in the cards. But now, quote, it's less clear with what the situation is. Quote, I would imagine that Metal Gear Solid 3, the remake, is going to be somewhat of a testbed for that, Robinson said. Pete, I'm going to, just for timing's sake, kind of cut it there. But what do you think about the potential for a new Castlevania and the Metal Gear Solid 3 remake finally getting revealed?
So really quickly, was this the official confirmation then that Konami is going to be at E3, or did we have that already?
Because we do not have any. This is not an official confirmation. This is more confirmation.
This is just speculation.
In a sense, yes. These are reporters. They have insider knowledge in a sense, right? So they may be talking from their sources, but no, Konami has not said they're going to be at E3, and E3 has not announced anyone that's going to be there at this moment.
Yeah, so basically all we have so far is, anyway, I know.
Well, we don't even know if Ubisoft, because remember, it's if E3 is there.
Ubisoft. What's up?
Remember, we don't even technically have Ubisoft, because Ubisoft said they'll be there if there's an E3.
Got it. Okay. So no confirmation on anybody. I thought for some reason we did. Anyway, going back to this article, Castlevania, fun game, whatever. I'm more focused on Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. I don't know if you know this about me. For the podcast listeners, or you, Jeremy, Metal Gear Solid 3 is one of the greatest games I think of it's ever been made. It's my favorite, by far, Metal Gear Solid game. I have a blast playing it. I think it's one of my highest rated and favorite games of all time. It is the one Metal Gear Solid game. Like, I like, in general, all the Metal Gear Solid games that I played. I still need to play 5. I'm really bad about that. I keep saying I'm going to. But Metal Gear Solid 3 was kind of like, for me, the high point of that series. So it possibly getting a remake, maybe with like, not necessarily just updated graphics, like maybe in like a sense of like an actually updated gameplay and stuff like that. I'm really invested and really interested because I really, really, really enjoyed that game. So like, if they announce that they're going to do a remake, I'm all for it because I would really enjoy seeing Metal Gear Solid 3 again. And the Metal Gear Solid storyline, for the most part, is basically wrapped up. So they really, I don't think, can add much more to the story itself. So basically all they're doing at this point would be able to be remakes. But I'd be really interested in seeing how that goes. And I hope it would be more than just, you know, updated graphics, or it'd be some additional content involved in that too. There was a lot of stuff I really enjoyed about that game. Just the aesthetic, the feel of the game, the vibes, the gameplay itself in general. It didn't feel like any of the videos or movies within the game felt long, like sometimes some of these games, especially the later Metal Gear Solids, are wont to do. And also, like, even just a little bit of the comedy involved in the middle of it, and a little bit of the banter of all the characters, it was really, really enjoyable and really entertaining. And it was really cool seeing it seeing a Metal Gear Solid game where it's not just like a bunch of futuristic technology that may or may not exist. It was kind of like, no, this is back in the Cold War. And the technology fits the time for the most part. I mean, you have some of that still because they're still making like Metal Gears and stuff like that. The Shagohod, I think, was the name of the main villainous robot or whatever you want to call it in this case. But there was a lot, but for the most part, it was just, you know, it felt James Bondy and stuff like that too. The music is still just a song I go back to. Snake Eater is just fantastic. So I'm all for a remake. It's basically a long way of saying that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, which you might not know and the listeners may not know, but I've made this comment before in several other points. I hate Metal Gear Solid 3. Now, I will say the hate stems from I hit a, in my opinion, a bug that prevented me from ever progressing, and so that hatred stems from that bug. So I don't know if I actually would like the game or not, so I would look forward for a remake, so hopefully I do not experience that bug and I can actually experience the story and see if I like the game or not. You know, I'm just a little surprised about this because the long rumored remake for Metal Gear Solid, I thought was the Metal Gear Solid 1. So the fact that it is 3, if this is true, is the most interesting part to me. And I wonder, what does that mean going forward? Like you said, you know, maybe they are going to do just remakes and they're not going to try to expand on the Metal Gear world in a sense post Kojima, because obviously Kojima no longer is part of Konami. Are they doing it in chronological order? Or not chronological order, but timeline order, I should say. Because obviously Metal Gear Solid 3, for those that don't know, is basically the prequel to all the games.
It is.
Like, if that is the case, if they're remaking 3, is that giving us an insight in a sense of where they may be going with the other remakes? And they're not necessarily going to go, obviously, we'll remake Metal Gear Solid 1, and then we'll remake 2 and 3 and stuff. Because while these games are great, you know, in itself, I think that it's safe to say, and I think you would agree too, is that like for those that maybe, of course, now time trying to go back to play some of these games, they're going to be a little rough to play. And so I feel like these are great candidates in a sense of like a remake is worth it because it not only allows that person to go play and experience said story, but it also will allow them to get a modern feel on the controls and the atmosphere and all that jazz versus let me go play, you know, Metal Gear Solid 3, which, if I remember correctly, came out on PS2, if I remember correctly. Or no, it was PS3, yeah, right?
No, it was PS2.
I'm PS2, sure, yes, because Metal Gear Solid 4 was the PS3 one, if yes. I remember correctly, on that one.
You're right. I'll triple check, but I'm like almost 100% positive. Yeah, it's PlayStation 2.
And Cobalt asked me when it came to my game-breaking bug, how far were you into the story when this happened? I'm going to be honest. I pretty much think this was like within the first 2 hours of the game. Like
Man, that sucks.
Yeah, the way to describe it, and I have found this out from those that have played the game, like those who have beaten the game and I've like told this story to. I have found out that like basically I must have hit a bug because the scene that I was at is you're walking down basically like a water ravine and there's a tree branch that's like blocking your way. And apparently you're supposed to be able to go up to this tree branch, you hit X, and then you go over the tree branch and then you fight a boss. Like literally like you go over the tree branch and one of the first bosses appear that you need to fight. That button input never popped up. I never could do anything with the tree. And I remember thinking I must have turned the wrong way. And I literally turned around and went all the way back to the like start of the game, walking in the opposite direction. And I was like, there is nothing for me. And I kept walking forward. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, there's like a, apparently, cause I had a friend that tells me, it's like, yeah, you're supposed to be able to walk up to that, that branch, or the tree trunk, I guess I should say, it's not a branch. And like, Snake jumps, like basically hops over it. And then like you meet one of the first bosses or something of that nature. And, I couldn't do it.
I don't even remember the scene you're talking about, honestly. I can't even picture it, so I'd have to play through it again. I will say that going back to your comment saying like you thought it would be like Metal Gear Solid 1 or 2, it's the article does mention that they think this is might be a testbed for things like that, so that might also be another reason why they're starting with Metal Gear Solid 3. It's the one that's could use an update more than probably for Metal Gear Solid 4, Metal Gear Solid 5. That's also like the closest to current modern times. It's probably the easiest to make a remake for, because there's stuff in Metal Gear Solid 1 where they kind of already did a remake with Metal Gear Solid 1 with Twin Snakes for GameCube, and they basically ruined one of the boss fights because of the game. They changed the gameplay to match basically Metal Gear Solid 2, and that ruined the first boss fight against Revolver Ocelot, because you could like point in first person mode instead of just like running around in a square like you're supposed to chase him down and stuff. So I'm interested, maybe that's a reason too, where it's like, well, we have to actually change like actual like how that boss fight dictates, and if people really like this one, maybe we'll go to it.
Yeah, maybe. Full disclosure, the only Metal Gear Solid game I have ever beaten, I technically will say I've beaten two, is Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, basically the prequel to Metal Gear Solid 5. That was one mission long. I beat that. Yeah. And Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty. Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty, spoiler alert, is my favorite one because it was so awesome. But again, it was the only one I beat.
That was a wild trip, but... Yeah,
I love the Wild Trip personally. As a little young me, like that was awesome. But nice. That's why Raiden is my favorite. But anyway, real quick before we move on, I just got to ask you, with the Castlevania, do you think that would be a 2D Castlevania or a 3D Castlevania that they remake or that they announce? I guess I should say.
I mean, maybe they'll remake Symphony of the Night. I would love that. I assume it almost said it would be a.
It says it's a new one. I didn't mean remake. So again, would it be a 2D or a 3D?
Oh, the game. I'm sorry, my fault. I confused the two. I assume it'd have to be 3D. It'd be really hard to make a 2D one nowadays. Not like hard and like it'd be difficult. I think it'd be a little bit of a tougher sell. But I think honestly, thinking about it more, like Castlevania 2D is just like almost natural, just like the side scroller action. So maybe they just go straight 2D. I would love a new classic Castlevania game. It'd be really sweet in my book.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I'm thinking it's a 2D. I mean, you look at Dead Cells, you look at Bloodstained. I mean, Hollow Knight in a sense. Like, there's so many like that it works with that I think they go 2D in that regard. Real quick, because of timing's sake, we're gonna go to this likely our last article. And it is Mortal Kombat 12 is launching this year, according to Warner Brothers in a earnings call. We're going to Game Informer for this article written by Marcus Stewart, and it goes as follows. Mortal Kombat 12 is apparently launching this year, and that news was revealed rather unceremoniously in an earnings call with Warner Brothers Discovery. In a clip pulled from Warner Brothers Discovery's fourth quarter 2022 earnings call yesterday, Warner Brothers President CEO David Zaslav states that there's lots more to come, including the highly anticipated Mortal Kombat 12 and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League games, also set for release this year with ambitious launch projections. Of course, developer NetherRealm Studios has yet to announce anything on its end, and yesterday studio head and Mortal Kombat co-director Ed Boon cheekily tweeted, "So who has heard the news about Injustice 3? Referencing the fact that for years, NetherRealm has released an Injustice game between Mortal Kombat entries, so technically that would be next if it is maintaining that pattern. Fans will have to wait for a flashy reveal, but a Mortal Kombat 12 launch would be huge for a year that is already going to see Street Fighter 6 and potentially Tekken 8 on the schedule. Last October, NetherRealm revealed Mortal Kombat Onslaught, a role-playing mobile game also slated to release this year." Pete, what do you think of this being the way, in a sense, that Mortal Kombat 12 is announced?
Can CEOs get in trouble for, what do you call it?
Leaking their own games?
Yeah, leaking their own games. What do they call it? I don't remember what the voice actors had to sign. Silence clauses.
NDA, non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah, NDA, non-disclosures. There we go. Do they get in trouble for breaking their own NDAs? I mean, it's interesting, especially since they're saying it's being released this year. I think you've made comment before, maybe, or I've read somewhere before that Like Metal Gear, Mortal Kombat games seem to be announced like pretty close to when the date's actually gonna. There's, I don't know if it's the group that makes it themselves or if it's just Mortal Kombat specifically, but it seems like a lot of the time they just announce, they kind of announce like, hey, one new Mortal Kombat coming like in 2 months or whatever, and it's like usually like a quick turnaround. It's like, oh, okay, weird. Well, I think it's weird. I don't know in general it thinks it's weird, but this reveal particularly was weird. And that this is where the Injustice one I got tripped up on, because there's jokingly been a new Injustice between every Mortal Kombat in the middle of that. So I mean, good for the Mortal Kombat fans. They seem to have confirmation, unless the CEO's confusing this Mortal Kombat 12 to be the role-playing mobile game that's coming out this year. I don't know, maybe the dude tripped up on that, but I feel like they would have sent a confirmation of that at some point, and I doesn't seem to be that they've said they've denied that this Mortal Kombat 12 is coming. So yay, I
Yeah.
guess. It's a really weird way to find out though.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you as a huge Mortal Kombat fan, what the hell? Like, this is how, like, I'm happy, right? I'm happy that a Mortal Kombat 12 is coming. I figured it would be coming at some point. And I'm also happy in a sense that Mortal Kombat 12, theoretically, and I'm assuming when he says this year, I mean this fiscal year, so technically speaking, this likely could release like early 2024, if that is the
Fair.
way that he's speaking, right? But still, what this is how we find out about it. And of course, I love Ed Boon. Ed Boon, for those that don't know, again, he is the founder in a sense of Mortal Kombat and NetherRealm Studio. He is like a jokester. You never can take what he says seriously. And so I love the fact that he's like, you know, kind of turns this into like, hey, so Injustice 3. And then, like, of course, that starts
Yeah.
now, of course, to the different discussion, which is like, you know, is there an Injustice 3 actually going to happen? Because people have been waiting on that be the case too. It's like, is there going to be a third Injustice or is there not? Is the two Injustice going to be the end of it? So I find this really weird. And I also find it weird, of course, that like because this happened, they haven't just either confirmed, yes, Mortal Kombat 12 is coming, or like, no, like it's not. We like he misspoke or something of that nature, which feels bad if it's the CEO and you're like, hey, he misspoke. But I
I
don't
mean,
know.
yes, but do you want to like clear that up and make it so like, yeah, that's not actually what he meant? So I don't know. I guess I'll find out sooner or later that whether this is an actual thing or not.
Yeah, we'll see, and when we'll see, who knows what time that it is. But if you want to buy some games that are not Mortal Kombat 12 and you want to dive into them right away, we'll tell you about games that are coming out this week. And we're starting with Monday, February 27th. You have Anomoyopolis Chapter 1, which I hope I pronounced that right, but it is spelled really weird. That's coming out for PC. Voltaire the Vegan Vampire for PC Early Access. Dead Side Club for PC Early Access as well. That's also free to play. So I can't imagine you're going to have to pay for early access on that one. Tuesday, February 28th, which happens to be my birthday, Destiny 2 Lightfall for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Dungeons of Aether for PC. Scars Above for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One and PC. Fern Bus Coach Simulator for PS5 and Xbox Series. Rightmost for Switch and PC. Clive and Wrench PS5, Switch and PC. Void Terrarium 2 for PS4 and Switch. Remedium Sentinels PC Early Access. Catan Console Edition for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4 and Xbox One. On Wednesday, March 1st, which is not as good of a day as Tuesday, February 28th, but on March 1st you have Leap for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One and PC. Fight and Rage for PS5 and Xbox Series. Thursday, March 2nd, you have King of the Castle for PC, One Military Camp for PC, and then Friday, March 3rd, you have Wolong Fallen Dynasty for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and that is coming to Game Pass. Pete, any of these catching your attention?
You know, I never played Catan as
Me
a
either.
game or whatever, but I see it all the time, like every game store I go to, everybody. So apparently it must be really popular. The two games that I'm really looking forward to, Scars Above seemed like a really interesting action adventure kind of game. The trailer, I really enjoyed it. It felt kind of like a Star Trekian, like futuristic sci-fi kind of thing going on. So you're basically, it looks like you're trapped on a planet of some sort that used to be good, but now, or not used to be like flourish, and now it's not So that one was kind of interesting. And also Rytmos, was a rhythm puzzle game. And that one looked kind of dope too. The trailer was like a little different than what I'm used to. I do enjoy rhythm games, but, you know, more of a JRPG is my vibe. So I was kind of interested in that. And then Wulong Fallen Dynasty, which is also coming out on Game Pass. I'm more interested in it because of that, I think. I don't know how much I enjoy the Souls style of gameplay, but if it's on Game Pass, I mean, I'll just probably still give it a shot, see what it's like.
Yeah, for myself, you know, and I will say, anyone that wants to buy me a birthday gift, they totally can, because I will gladly accept it. But Destiny 2, Lightfall, again, I really like Destiny 2, and Lightfall looks really awesome. So looking forward to that one. Scars Above, as you said, when this was announced at the Game Awards, I actually had it and written down in my phone games, literally... Where did I have it? Right here. Games from Game Awards note on my phone, and it'll say right there, Scars Above. And I put my birthday down on it. So I was looking forward to that one. And then, yes, Wulong Fallen Dynasty. I love the Neo games. And so this one really has my attention in that regard. And, of course, as you said, coming to Game Pass makes it that much more enticing. But we'll see, of course, if this is what gets me to relaunch my Game Pass, even though I have a bunch of other games that I'm playing, including Edge of Eternity now, because, of course, I'm back to playing that one. But that's all that we have for this episode here of the podcast. Pete, is there anything you want to leave our listeners with before we send them off into the work week?
Just have a good week. Hope you can dodge any gnarly storms. Stay warm. Yeah, that's about it. We'll come back and be better than ever next week.
Yes, we will be back better than ever, and hopefully we'll have this recording issue fixed next week this time around. But everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the One More Game Podcast. I've been one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy. This has been the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia, and we really enjoy bringing this to you. So as always, everybody, stay hydrated, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on gaming. We'll see you guys on the next episode.